Welcome to CLCC Online. We pray that this message draws you towards Jesus and strengthens your walk with Him. We believe that we were meant to do life in community. So if you live in the Fraser Valley area, we would love to get you connected into the family. Find everything you need at clcc.ca. Enjoy.
Hello, church. My name is Ostap, and I'm one of the pastors here at CLCC, and I'm so excited to be here today. We've been going through the series, Stories That Transform Us, and if you know me or if you had a conversation with me, you know I love stories. I love telling stories. I love listening to stories, and I want to quickly dive into a quick story from my life before we dive into the Word here. So I don't know about you listening at home, but I personally love roller coasters. I've always loved roller coasters. Usually I get sick on rides that are fast or spinny or twisty, like those little teacups. Those drive me crazy. But a roller coaster goes so fast sometimes that I feel like I don't even have time to get sick. So I love them. I love the adrenaline rush that I get on them. And one time, me and my sister, we got the opportunity to go to Canada's Wonderland, which is basically heaven for roller coaster riders. Lots of awesome roller coasters, some of the biggest ones not only in Canada, but even in the world. So I was quite young at the time, and we rode some of these crazy roller coasters, and the day was winding down, and we're like, oh, like, let's chill a bit. Let's take some easier roller coasters here. And there was this wooden roller coaster, and I Googled it to find the name. It's called the Ghoster Coaster. And it's this little wooden roller coaster. It looked easy. So we're like, oh, we'll go, we'll chill there. We'll do that one to wrap up the day. So we're on this roller coaster, and I remember putting on the seatbelt, and it clicks in, and it's pretty loose, like loose enough that I could easily get out of it. And I didn't really think about it. And then the bar came down. It was like clink. And I remember thinking, I'm really reaching to this thing. Like, if anything, this bar would just be used to just help launch me out of the seat more than it's going to help me stay in it. But again, I don't know what I was doing or what I was thinking or what I wasn't thinking, but the roller coaster started. And me and my sister, we might as well have been driving to get coffee or something, because we're chatting, we're laughing, we're joking, talking about the awesome day we had. And if you've been on a roller coaster, you know the legendary click. It goes click, 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 and it goes and goes, and that's how you know you're catching traction and going higher and higher up the hill to the top. So we're hearing this click, and as I remember the story, I remember it so vividly. I remember the click, and I remember talking to my sister, and I don't know what came over me, but I looked forward, and I looked at the drop, and I remember thinking to myself, that's a really steep drop, like really steep for a wooden roller coaster. And I remember looking down and thinking, I'm really, really high up right now. So all of a sudden, everything hit me at once. I started panicking. I didn't know what to do. I had no control of the situation, and I didn't know how to tell my sister all that I was feeling. So all I could say was, I can't see the drop. I can't see the drop. I can't see the drop. And I was yelling it again and again, to the point where people behind us started panicking because the kid in the front row is yelling, I can't see the drop. And sure enough, you can't stop that ride. We get to the top, the clicking stops, and we drop, and we're flying, and all my fears are coming true. I feel myself lifting out of the seat. I feel the seatbelt doing absolutely nothing, and I did the one thing I could think of doing in that moment. Instead of holding the bar, I wrapped my arms around it, and I remember getting thrashed in the face. I remember slapping my arms around, but this was the only way, if I held on so tightly like this, that in my mind, I wouldn't blow away into Toronto or Canada's Wonderland somewhere. Now, I love my sister. I know in this moment, she was just trying to protect her little brother. But her response to the situation was to just hold on to me. So now I'm holding on for my dear life and for my sister's dear life. And I don't know if I would have blown away that day if I didn't hold on like that. But I remember that all I could do in that situation was hold on. I had no control of the roller coaster. I had no control of where I was going. And I could just hold on as tightly as possible. Now, like I said, we've been reading through stories in the Bible that transform us. And the story I'm going to read today is, like I said, one of my favorites. And it's about a man at the end of himself. And like me on that roller coaster, it's about a man that held on because there was nothing else that he could do. Before we dive in the Word, let's quickly pray together. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for today. I want to thank you for the opportunity that we have to look through your word, through your scripture, God. I pray that as we read, you would reveal something new to us, Lord. As we read these stories, that you would transform us and make us more like you, Jesus. I pray all these things in your name. Amen. So the passage I'm going to be reading is Genesis 32, 22 to 29. Let's read together. During the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two servants' wives, and his 11 sons and crossed the Jabbok River with them. After taking them to the other side, he sent over all his possessions. This left Jacob all alone in the camp. And a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. Then the man said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." "What is your name?" the man asked. He replied, "Jacob." "Your name will no longer be Jacob," the man told him. "From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won." "Please tell me your name," Jacob said. "Why do you want to know my name?" the man replied. Then he blessed Jacob there. This is such an interesting story, and honestly, it's a very weird story. It kind of just drops us right into the middle of an odd situation with not a lot of context. So my first point is going to be breaking down the context of what's going on, getting us to this story. And we're going to be learning something about Jacob in this point. So my first point is going to be called Jacob, the Sneaky Fella. So to truly understand the story, we need to look at where Jacob is coming from. And I want to start by looking at his name. See, names in the Bible are great because they're clues that give us a little bit of a hint of what God is trying to share with us in the story. Now, Jacob has a nickname. Some of you may have heard of it. It's called Jacob the Deceiver. He was known for being kind of a sneaky guy, kind of tricky, hence the point that I call it the Sneaky Fella. Jacob's name in Hebrew, which would have been the original text, would have translated to heel holder. This is kind of odd, and it's a reference to Genesis 25. And this would be the story of the birth of Jacob and his twin brother Esau. You see, Esau, being the twin, was born first, but Jacob was holding on to his heel as he was born. This holds significance as the firstborn son in this timeline would have held a lot of value. The firstborn covenant was a covenant relationship between the patriarch of the family and God, passing on the headship of authority, not only just for this person, but for the whole family from the father to the firstborn son. This was a direct relationship between God and the patriarch and was a symbol of God dealing directly with the firstborn son. To be the firstborn was obviously a big deal. And even at birth, we see Jacob was fighting for that place. His name can also be translated to supplanter, which, if you look in the dictionary, is taking over or taking the place of someone else. And one dictionary said, taking over, taking the place of someone else, usually on purpose. Already we see him fighting for the firstborn spot. Now we hear his name is directly connected to taking the place of somebody. Things aren't looking great for Esau here, as he was the firstborn. But Jacob also earned the nickname Jacob the Deceiver, as we see. He was known for tricking people. One of the most famous stories is when he tricked his brother and convinced him to trade his birthright, his firstborn birthright, for a bowl of soup. We also see him tricking his blind father into thinking he was his brother to receive that birthright. Jacob was a sneaky fella, and he liked to sneak around and trick people like this. And this is so interesting because God had promised Jacob that he would be the start of a great nation and the continuation of this nation that God was creating. God promised to be with him, to help Jacob, and to give him a family and a land for them to live. And we see this in Genesis 28. And through Jacob's life, we see him receiving these blessings, but he always attained them by doing things in not the most honest way. He would trick people and he would do what it takes to get the things that he wanted. It almost seemed like Jacob would say, "Okay, God, I know you have this plan. I know you have this promise for my life, but I'm going to have to do things just to make sure they work out." So now we've seen his name. I want to talk about the actual storyline that brought us to where Jacob is in this moment. You see, Jacob had actually lived away from his homeland for over 20 years. He lived in a land called Haran with his uncle Laban. He married two of Laban's daughters, he worked for his uncle, and he made his uncle very, very wealthy. But his uncle, much like him, was kind of a tricky guy, cheated him out of things, always tried to trick him or get something out of him, which, honestly, hearing Jacob's story, it might have been what he deserved a little bit. But one day, God calls Jacob to go back home. We see this in Genesis 31, where God calls him to go back to the land of his father. And this is great news. Family reunion. Everyone's back together again. Now, I can imagine that there's probably some of you today that are hearing family reunion, and maybe your skin's crawling a little bit. Maybe the family getting back together isn't necessarily the best place for you to be. And as you can imagine, with Jacob and the situation that he left at home 20 years earlier, he had a brother that didn't like him. He had a father that he tricked. And honestly, the reason he left was because his brother was scheming to kill him. But God called Jacob home. So his wives, his children, his livestock, everything he had was making its way back to the land of his father, back to Canaan. God had promised Jacob that he would become a great nation and that he would have a land for them to live in. So we have Jacob. He's close to where his brother lives, and he sends out a messenger. He's like, I'm going to send this messenger. I'm just going to let my brother know I'm on my way home. And I'm just going to quickly read this passage. It's Genesis 32, verse 6. And we're going to see what the messenger brings back to Jacob. After delivering the message, the messenger returned to Jacob and reported, "We met your brother Esau, and he is already on his way to meet you." That's awesome news. But he's with an army of 400 men. That's not so awesome. I wonder if Jacob maybe felt like he was finally getting payback. You see, Jacob tricked his brother, and in his life, he tricked a lot of people. I wonder if in that moment, he's like, here it is. I'm getting the moment where I pay for my mistakes. And this brings us to our story that we are in now. You see, we see the outline of Jacob's story. We see his name. We see the things he's done and the journey he's been on. And we see what brought him to this place here in this camp. And as we read this story, we learn something about Jacob, something about him and his character, which is going to bring me to my second point, which I'm calling DIY, which, if you know, is do it yourself. I really respect do-it-yourself kind of people. I personally am not necessarily a do-it-yourself kind of guy. But when I think of some, I think of my fiance. She's one of those people that she can see something and she's like, I want to recreate that. I want to make that. I want to do that. I want to fix that. And recently it's been coming up with flowers. She's been going and making these beautiful bouquets. And she's like, oh, I just like thought of it or saw a photo and made it happen. And I'm like, I couldn't do that. I think of one of my close friends, and he's actually a leader here at CLCC. His name is Nathan, but we call him Baseball Jones. You give the man duct tape, a wrench, and a hammer, and he'll fix a car. Now, mind you, the wheel might fall off, and there's a good chance it won't run forever, but he'll get that car running. There's something so incredible about do-it-yourself people. They can see something. They can fix something. They can make something happen and figure it out. Now, I think this is a good thing, and I respect people who are DIY a lot. You see, if you give me something broken, there is a very good chance that you will get it in worse shape than you gave it to me. Now, Jacob, he was a DIY kind of guy. When the problems came up or things he wanted came up, he would do it himself or do what it took to get it for himself. Even though God had promised to give him the things he was getting, he somehow always managed to do the most questionable thing to make these promises happen. We see how because of this, he built a reputation for himself. Like, he knew there was a promise for him. He knew God had a plan for him, but there seemed to be a lack of trust. He knew the promises was there, but he had to DIY to get it. Whether it was honest or not, he did what it took to get the things that he was owed. Now, we live in a world that loves to DIY our lives. And it's good. It's good to make sure we do things. I'm not just saying we need to sit around and wait for things to happen. But we must remember where the blessings and the good things that God has for us come from. We need to remember that all these things come from God. And so often we try and do it ourselves, a lot like Jacob. We try and take control of the things God has given us. And like Jacob, we will end up at the end of ourselves. You see, God is always in control. God is in control when it comes to our health. God is in control when it comes to our family. God is in control when it comes to our finances, because God is always in control. As Christians, we give up control of our lives. We choose to follow God and we say, God, you are Lord. You are Lord of my life, and I want you to be in control. But as people, we often forget this. We let God into our lives, but we also say, I can take control of my money. God, you stay in control, but leave my family, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my wife, my husband, my children, my parents, whatever it may be. We say, God, you take control, but leave that up to me. We let God in and we want him to be in control, but we want to DIY the good things that God has given us. We take control and forget where these things came from. And when we do this, often we end up like Jacob. We will end up at the end of ourselves, because we as people can only do so much. We aren't God. And as much as we wish we were in control, we are not. And at this moment of desperation, of being at the end of himself, here is where we jump into Jacob wrestling with the angel. Now, this is our third point, which I've titled, Hold On. And we've really traveled throughout Genesis a little bit, throughout the life of Jacob. So I want to do a really quick recap. So far, we've seen Jacob. We've seen that he's a sneaky fella. We'll see that he'll often take matters into his own hands, and he loves to DIY his life. Now we find him alone in a camp at the end of himself, at the end of the road. There's no more sneaking. There's no more tricking people. There's nothing else he can do. Then all of a sudden, this man appears in his camp. Now, I want to just quickly read this passage of scripture together. It's Genesis 32, 24 to 28. This left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. Then the man said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." "What is your name?" the man asked. He replied, "Jacob." "Your name will no longer be Jacob," the man told him. "From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won." This is such an interesting story. And I know it says man in here, but scholars will basically all agree that this man that came and wrestled with him was actually an angel. So we have this wrestling match. We have this angel that comes into his camp. And I think wrestling is such an interesting word, because wrestling is actually the art of grappling, which technically makes it the sport of holding on as tightly as you possibly can. Now, this angel tries to get rid of Jacob. It even tries popping Jacob's hip out. But what does Jacob do? He just holds on even more. He was quite stubborn. This is just such a beautiful image. You can feel the tension. You can feel Jacob's fear, not necessarily in the wrestling match itself, but more in the situation he's in. Fear in the unknown of what will happen to him, what will happen to his family. He is truly at a loss on what he can do, because there is nothing else he can do. But then this heavenly being appears. And what does Jacob do in that moment? He grabs on. He knows he can't go through this. He knows the situation is too big for him. So he grabs on. And I don't blame him. What choice does he have? He realizes that he can't do it. He can't DIY this one. Only God can pull him through. So he won't let go, because he knows that he needs God. It's like this radical act of surrender. God, I need you. I'm not going to let go. This reminds me of my experience on that roller coaster. I remember all I could do was hold on. I had no control of the situation. I had no control of where I was going, but I knew that all I could do was hold on, because my life depended on it. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that when we hold on to God, when we choose to trust him, that everything is going to work out. Jacob says, "I won't let go till I'm blessed." But this doesn't mean that everything worked out. If we look into the rest of Jacob's life after this point, it's easy to see that he still had heartbreak, difficulties, struggles. It's not all going to go away when we surrender and choose to hold on to God. We don't choose to hold on to God just so only good things will happen to us, because that won't work out. Instead, we choose to surrender and hold on because God knows the plan for our lives. And no matter what's happening, God is in control. The unfortunate reality of the broken world we live in is that we have felt like Jacob. We will feel like Jacob, or we are feeling like Jacob right now. We'll feel like we've reached the end of ourselves and we'll not be able to keep going on our own. But we have a God that's in control and can bring us through, a God that walks with us and before us, a God that knows the next step. This won't make everything go away, but what it does is give us hope, and we know we can trust in the God that is carrying us through. The question is, will we choose to hold on to him, or are we going to continue to keep DIYing our lives? Now, as I conclude the message today, I have a few challenges. I know there are some of us here listening right now that feel like Jacob in the story. We feel like we're at the end of our abilities. Maybe it's health issues. Maybe it's a family issue or something happening to a loved one. Maybe it's financial issues and it's something we just can't get a control over. And we've tried everything we can do. We've tried everything ourselves, but over and over we hit the end of ourselves. If this is you, if you feel like Jacob, like you're hitting the end of yourself, I want to start by saying, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry because that's really hard. I want to encourage you today with the truth that God is in control. Now, Jacob, he literally could hold on to the angel. He could just sit in surrender and just not let go. And obviously, we don't have that. But during this time, during this week, I hope you can bring the things that are holding you down to the Lord. Whether it be through prayer on your own or prayer with others, I hope you can use this time to give God the things that are so big in your life. Just tell him you're holding on to him. Pray to give up the DIY mentality and choose to surrender to the God that is in control and let him have that control. Maybe you feel great. Maybe things are going well for you. And if that's you, that's awesome. But through this week, my challenge for you is to think about the areas in your life that you might be DIYing yourself. Is it family? Is it finances? Or maybe it's where you need to go next. What are the spaces that God wants to get control of, and maybe we haven't been able to let them up? This is also a good time to come before God and to hold on to him now. You see, it's easy to come to God when things are going badly. We often are drawn to him when things aren't going the way we want it. But it takes work and repetition to hold on to God and include him in our lives when things are going well. So during this time, I challenge you to lean into him, choose to give up control and ask him what he might want for your life. Like I said, so often we find ourselves in difficult situations and we go to God then, but he is always with us. So during the week, let's choose to hold on to him now. And lastly, maybe you're listening and you've been hearing about this God and this plan and this God that is with us and wanting to hold on to us and wants us to hold on to him through all things. Maybe you want to start this relationship with this awesome and amazing God. You want to know this peace and this trust that we can have, and you want to know the God that has a plan for our lives. If this is you, me and any of the pastoral staff would love to chat with you and help you start this relationship with the God that has an amazing plan for your life. Now, this series is called Stories That Transform Us. And as we look at Jacob, we started off with Jacob the deceiver. And when Jacob was wrestling and holding on to the Lord, we see something happen. We see that this changes. He started off as Jacob the deceiver, but then later the angel says, "You are no longer Jacob. You are the man that wrestled with God and with men and have won. Your name is now Israel." He's given a new name. That day, Jacob was transformed from the man that was known for doing all these things that maybe were questionable to being the man that wrestled with God and with men and won. You see, he came to God It wasn't that it was great actions or some amazing things or how good of a person that he was able to get this transformation. No, it wasn't that. It was because he held on to the Lord. God welcomes us to himself, and he is ready to transform our lives just like he transformed Jacob that day. The question is, are we willing to let God take control? And are we ready to hold on to him? Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word that gives us so much and has so much transformative power in it, Lord God. We get to hear the stories of how you have done great things through, honestly, average people, God. Lord God, I pray for everyone listening. If there's anyone listening, Lord God, that maybe they're experiencing a time right now where it feels like everything is coming in on them and they're at the end of themselves, I pray that they would feel your peace, that they would experience you in a real, real way, and that they would let you take control and just hold on. Lord God, thank you that you are so good to us, that you allow us just to hold on and you want us to come to you, not with anger, not with scolding, but you just receive us, Lord. Thank you for being so good. Amen. Thanks for watching today, and I hope you have a great rest of the week.
Thanks for joining us. If you are looking to get connected, we are one church in multiple locations. Our Aldergrove campus meets at Parkside Elementary School Sundays at 10:30. Our Abbotsford campus has three services each Sunday, 8:30, 10, and 11:30. We would love to see you at one of our in-person gatherings. If you would like to financially support us, you can always give at cscc.ca/give. See you later.